Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Which is the same as saying hallelujah. Am I right?
Amen.
It's giving God the highest of the praises.
Amen.
And we're going to sing hallelujah one day in heaven by and by.
Amen.
And I believe that is all of our ultimate goal in life. Am I right? And that is where we want to go. And that is why we are here now gathered together on this day, the Lord's day. His day all day. Am I right about it? And it is good to see all those who have come back to continue in the worship and the study and the praise of God's book, the Bible. The understanding is there, and we must continue to try to get stronger, more diligent, and in the work for the Lord so that we can continue to grow, so that we won't have our candlesticks removed, right?
Right.
We want to be one of those shining lights on the hill that folk can see that we are the light of the world. And the only way that we can do that is by showing, first of all, each other love. Am I right about it?
Right.
And then that comes from the love of God that he bestowed upon us. And the Bible tells us that first you have to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart,
amen,
with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. And then Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments,
right?
And he said, even if you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to keep my commandments. And we sing that song, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Am I right about it? And that's just something makes me just want to continue to do what I'm doing, because I know that in the end that we all have that ultimate goal of singing hallelujah by and by. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 5, and it says, beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Brother Johnson brought the message about the vine, right?
Yeah.
And he talked about that we are the branches.
Right.
Jesus said that I am the vine and we are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to bear fruit. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
And he says right here, if we keep these things in mind and if you put these things affecting our life, we will not be fruitless. And Brother Johnson let us know that if you're not bearing fruit that the gardener or the other husbandman will come and sever the branch, right? If you're not bearing fruit. So the thing is that we must understand that once we have our basis of faith, we all believe, right? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. I'm good. I'm going to ask that question because that is the great question. And that is the beginning of the faith that we have. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins, and that if we obey him, eternal life can be ours. Am I right about it? And that is the basis. A lot of people, they have faith, and they believe in God. And some people, they stop there. You can ask them, do you believe? And they say yes. But according to their lifestyle, it doesn't represent the fact that they believe in Christ. Because here we see that once you have that faith, which is our foundation, we have to begin to do some mathematics. And the math, if you think about math, it is the thing, it is in all types of life, from science, history, everything that you do in your life, you have to deal with math. Nala doesn't like math, but we have to explain to her that everything that you do, even when you wake up in the morning, it is a mathematical calculation on what time, how long sleep I'm going to have, how much sleep I'm going to have, how much time I'm going to have to get up and get dressed to make it to work on time or to school on time. Everything that you do is a mathematical problem in some way, shape, or form. And in the spiritual life, the mathematics is addition, which is the first theory of math that you learn, the most basic, right? 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2. Then they move on to subtraction, which is the opposite of addition. Then multiplication, which is the same as addition, but to a greater form. And division, which is subtraction to a greater form. Am I right about it? So all these things that we have to add and do the math. And he was telling us, once you have the foundation, you have to add to that faith. You can't just be a faith having person. There's some things that you're going to have to do once that you have obtained the faith. Once you're in that one faith that we talked about and being in that faith, there's something that you have to add. And he says, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. First is virtue. Now, virtue as defined as moral excellence or rules of right conduct, which deals with your conscience. See, God, when he deals with us, he deals with us through content and our conscience.
All right.
The content is contained in the context, which is the Bible, right? And once we have that information in our mind, we have to use our conscience to make right decisions according to that information that we have received in the context. Am I right about it? So the virtuous, it says rules of right conduct. And we know that our rules, our basic instructions that has been given to us is God's book, the Bible. And we have to add virtue, which is moral excellence, to our faith. If you believe and you have the faith in God, you have to start to become moral excellent. You will be morally a moral person. You would be start to become more like Christ. We know that Christ, he had no sin, right? And they said no guile was found in his mouth. So that means he didn't cuss folk out, right? And he didn't sleep around, or he didn't badmouth folk and slander folk and things like that, because his virtue, he had moral excellence. He did things that when you see him doing something, you couldn't say, oh, that guy is doing something wrong. Or I seen him around the corner. There should be nothing like that people could be able to say about you, because you are virtuous. And verse 3 right here in Peter, it says, according to his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue. That means that once we are in Christ, we cannot be immoral. All right? There are people who are immoral, who don't have morals at all. That means that they are under no ruling. They don't have anything that is telling them what to do or what not to do. They just do what they want to do. All right about it? But we as Christians, as we found out earlier, that we are under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we are guided by the Word. Am I right about it? So he says, now once you have that faith, you have to start being virtuous. You can't just be start acting any old kind of way. And this is all to prove that you are a child of God. He said you should know them by their love. And he said you should know the prophets by their fruits. And this is a type of fruit that you will produce as a Christian and a child of God. You will produce some virtue. People can see that you are a virtuous person. In Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, to think on these things. That means our minds have to be clean too. You know, Jesus tells us that everything starts right here. If I'm going to tell you something good or bad, it's going to come from my mind. A lot of people say, oh, I didn't mean to say that, but it was already in your mind. There's no way things just come popping out accidentally or slip of a tongue or something like that. That's because that thought was already in your brain and you just didn't contain it. That was already conceived in the mind. And it says, that's why he says, it's not what goes into the mouth, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the man. Because what comes out comes from the mind. And that's why we have to first have a virtuous mind. Then he says, add to your virtue knowledge, right? Now, we talked about being in the knowledge. And knowledge, the Bible tells us that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, in John chapter 8. And then here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I believe it is verse 18. Yes. And it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Now, the way that you're going to glorify God is by growing in the knowledge and in the grace of God. And you have to apply that. Like I said, some people, they have, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or I believe that what you said, but they don't try to build upon that faith. And that's what this is all about, building upon the basic foundation of faith. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says it is the substance or the foundation on which we stand is faith. And once you have that faith, you have to start to build upon it with your moral excellence. And then the knowledge is a familiarity with something or some information through fact or description or skills acquired through experience or education. And that's what going to worship and Bible study is. It is building our knowledge in the Word of God. And what this all is sound is a description of what we have to do as Christians to continue to grow in the Word of God. And it says to grow in grace and in knowledge. And then in Romans chapter 10 and verse 2, it talks about people who have a zeal. They have a faith. They have a faith in God, but it was not according to the knowledge. And then, like I said, people have faith, but you have to add to your faith. And that's why we study. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, which is another aspect of mathematics, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that you can have that understanding and that knowledge. So once you have your faith and you have the virtue and the knowledge, he says then to add temperance, and that is moderation in action, right? And in your feelings, self-control or restraint. You can't just, I talked about reacting off of instinct. You cannot be instinctive anymore. You have to let yourself be guided. You have to submit yourself to the Word of God and be guided by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. When somebody does something to you, your reaction cannot be, you know, retaliation or revenge and get back, right? The Bible tells us, God says, their vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? I will repay. So you just got to let folks do what they do sometimes and let God deal with them. You know, we can't go out there trying to retaliate and get revenge. Because we have, and also, that is, temperance is also, when it comes to your flesh and the things that you desire fleshly, you have to be able to control yourselves and be under self-control, where you don't go outside of the bounds of the knowledge that you have obtained through the faith in the Word of God. So we have to always think about ourselves in our reactions and in our in the way that we live. In Galatians chapter 5, let's turn over there in verse number 22-23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 20. Oh, yeah. All right. Yes. But the fruit of the Spirit is? Yes.
Joy.
Peace.
Long suffering.
Gentleness.
Goodness.
Faith.
Meekness.
Temperance.
Against such there is no law.
And again, that's why I talked about the fruits of the Spirit bearing fruit. And you see that temperance is an example that you are under the control of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You, if somebody say, well, I love the Lord, but they are, I just can't wait though. I have no patience. I can't stand waiting. That is not a virtue or a characteristic or a fruit of a godly person or someone under the control of the Holy Spirit. So we have to, and we are very impatient people in the world. We want instant everything, right? Instant eggs and folk, instant grits. But now folk want instant religion where they just get it without, but you know, instant grits, you need some water. Am I right about it? And if you ain't got no water, you're not going to have no good grits. Am I right about it? So it don't matter how instant or fast you go still, but you have to be patient and wait on the Lord and be in your actions and all the things that you do. And he says, these are fruits and examples. You're supposed to bear fruit. And folk don't know that you're a child of God by the fruit that you bear. And they know, and you tell them, oh, I'm a child of God. It's like, wait a minute, though, but you don't act like it, because the fruit that you bear is not
the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of your own that you are, whichever, the fruit of the loom, whichever you might say. But it is not the fruit of the Spirit because you don't have patience and meekness and love. And these are the things that you're supposed to add to yourself as you grow. And then he says patience, which is basically forbearing. They're about the same thing. Your temperance, you have to be patient. Your temper cannot be, I was like, I got a bad temper. You can't have a bad temper. There's no excuses for it. Am I right about it? Amen. People say, well, that's just the way I was. My daddy was like that. That's the way I am. But if you are under the control of God, he will give you that peace of mind, that joy that we sing about. I got that peace of mind, that joy that can never be found. You know what I'm saying? And that is because you are under the subjection and under the control of God through the Word and by the Spirit. So patience is forbearing and endurance under difficult circumstances. And with other people, you have to be patient. Some folk ain't got it like you got it. Some folk might not have, the Bible talks about the levels of faith. Some people might not be as strong as you are. Amen. So you have to be patient with them and let them grow and get to the place where you are. You should be sticking your hand out and trying to help them get to that state where you are, instead of, well, he way back there, he don't know. You need to help him, and that is another example of forbearing one another. Some folk just not going to be where you at. Some people don't have the same upbringing that you might have, or they might not have the same understanding of certain things that you may have, but you have to be patient with them and continue to teach them. And even those that you might be teaching, and they don't want to accept the word as you have presented it to them, you still have to be patient with them, man. And let God give the increase, or you can send somebody to do some watering and some tilling around to make sure that that seed is germinating in their hearts. As we see in James chapter 5, it talks about Job. Remember that story of Job? Job had went through some things, right? He killed his kids and lost all his crops, and he had boils all over himself, and he was in a bad situation because Satan was telling God, oh, you got that hedge around him, and you protecting him. That's why he does good for you. And then he said, oh, I'll take it away as long as you don't kill him. And I guarantee you, my boy is going to still be my boy, right? And Job said, no matter what, I'm still going to wait on the Lord. Am I right about it? Amen. And that is another patience that we must have. We have to wait on the Lord. And if we won't, well, the Lord ain't blessed me. I prayed 10 times already for that, and I still ain't got it. Well, you need to wait. Maybe you don't need it, huh? So we have to either wait on the decision that God will make or wait on the blessing that he will give. He might think that you don't need it, but we still have to wait on the Lord. And Job is a great example of for us to learn about patience. And that's why the Bible says those things that are written aforetime was written for that our learning, so that we through patience, right, and hope of the scriptures might have hope. Am I right about it? So we still, the Bible always talks about being patient. And then remember when Jesus was in the garden, he was about to be taken away, and he told his apostles, wait for me as I go and pray. He came back, they was sleeping, right? And he said, can't y'all wait for me an hour? And he said, wait, watch and pray, because he says the flesh is weak, but the soul is willing. We have to understand that God is the one that is giving the increase in our lives, and we have to allow him to do the work and work in us. But the only way that we can allow him to work is we have to submit ourselves to him and submit ourselves to the will and the workings of the Holy Spirit. In Psalms 37 and 34, that's where it says to wait on the Lord. In Matthew 26, he said, wait, watch, and pray. And then to your patience and to your, he said, add to your patience godliness. And godliness just basically means to be God-like. And to be God-like is to be holy. Am I right about it? And to be holy. In Romans chapter 12, he says, be holy as he is holy. And also in 1 Peter, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 11. Right back over here. 1 Peter, or it's chapter 1, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And this is how godliness, we have to think about in our lifestyle. Every time that we, as we live and as we go about, we must think about, again, what would Jesus do? We have to be thinking about the mind. He says, let the mind of Christ be in you, in Philippians 2. And that we have to think about how Christ reacted to things and how Christ taught people and things that Christ did so that we can be like him. And 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, if somebody have that, can you read that for me?
But as he which has called you is holy.
But as he which has called you is holy.
So be ye holy in all manners of conversation.
So be ye holy in all manners of conversation. And that word conversation is not just talking about talking, but it's talking about all manners of life. In your lifestyle. You can talk a good game, but you need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Am I right about it? You can't just say, I'm a child of God, and you living like a son of the devil. Am I right about it? You have to be holy. All these things that we add to ourselves, and those fruits of the Spirit, those are things that God is. He is patient. He says that he is patient, that none of us, he is long-suffering. That all should come to repentance. Because if he wasn't patient, all of us, I wouldn't be here if he wasn't a patient man. And if he dealt with us like he dealt with the children of Israel back then, those folks who still want to be under that old law, they should be thankful to God that we are no longer under that old law. Because he was smashing them right there. Right soon as, like, the people, the ark was about to fall and they touched it, boom. You know what I'm saying? He killed thousands of people in the wilderness as they was going through because they're disobedient. And we all have been disobedient to God. He says, all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. And if God wasn't patient with us, we would not be here. I could not come before you and stand here and preach the word because I'll probably be gone and the rest of us will be gone and we'll be in sad situations. But thanks to the grace of God, which is his patience and his love that he's bestowed upon us, he gives, every time we get up, he gives a chance to get it right, to get closer to God. And that's what our endeavor should be doing, is trying to grow and add to our faith so that we can be God-like and holy and to be Christ-like. And then he says, to add to you godliness, brotherly kindness. And that also is brotherly love, which we get the word Philadelphia. Am I right about it? It's a city of brotherly kindness, a city of brotherly love, right? And we cannot have all one with another. We cannot, I don't like that brother, so I ain't coming over there this week. Or I don't like that sister because she don't always shake my hand or he passed me by. But we should still have that love for folk regardless, even if they might have something going on. You could have helped them out by stopping them or asking them how they doing and things like that. We have to be considerate one toward another. And forbearing, that's also forbearing. You deal with each other. And, you know, all of us are different. We all have different opinions. We all have different things that we have and personalities, and we are here trying to mix and mingle all these different, you know, personalities together. And the only way that this can happen is through love. We have to love one another. And like I said, that love is peace, and that peace is how we're going to win. And that is a victory when you have peace. If there was no peace, then there was war, and that means the victory is not won, right? But when there's peace, that means the victory has been won. That means there's no more fighting and no more bickering, and we have to love one another. When you see me and when I see you, I should be smiling, right?
Amen.
Oh, it's so good to see all your faces. I should be hugging you, and that's why the Bible says salute one another with the holy kiss. As the churches of Christ, we go to that to define and to defend the church, but we don't go to that to defend our actions. We need to use it to defend our actions also, because if we are loving one to another, that will prove to the world that we are the church and that we are truly disciples of Christ. Because there's no greater love than the love that God has given us, right?
That's right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, am I right? And that love for us, the love that God has for us, then the love that God has for us, we have to give it to somebody else. And it's through the word of God, by teaching them and by showing them how God will have us to live one toward another. And then that brings us to love, right? And it says, add to brotherly kindness, charity. And what is charity? Love, right? In the Bible, when people say, oh, what is love? Love ain't nothing but a secondhand, brother,
Kirkendall preached, What Love Got to Do With It. You remember that sermon, right? And then if you look at 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13, it gives you, or, well, we're going to start with verse number 4 through 13. And we're just going to stick here because this is the most important thing that we have to have is love. Because if there is no love, then there is, we don't have God. We don't have, he said, if you don't have it, then you're not even like me. You're not even like my Father. And then that's who we're trying to be. And that's the holiness, being holy and godly. We have to, all these attributes that he spoke of is actions of love toward one another. By being long-suffering and patient with one another. That's because we love one another. With our kids, sometimes, you know, we want to beat them soon as they mess up, right? But we have to sometimes be patient with them. And we can't just get rid of the kids. We have to grow them and rear them up. Just like God is doing the same thing with us. He is rearing us up into being stronger and more closer to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, it says, charity suffereth long. And we're going to see first what love does. Yeah. What love does. Love does. Love suffers long. And we talked about that. The patience and the temperance. Those are all examples of love. And then it says that love is kind. That's what, another thing that love is. Then it talks about what love does not do. It does not envy, right? In verse 4 it says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Now we know what envy is, and that's when you hating on somebody. Most people know about that. You want what he got all the time. That's covetousness and things like that. But that's why the Bible tells us to be in content in whatever state that we're in. We know how to be high, and we know how to be down and out. But in all those states, we must be content so that we can give glory to God. We got to be thankful to God. If we rich, thank God for letting you get you a good job. And if you broke, thank God for allowing you to realize that you are broke, that you need to go get you a good job or something of that nature. Or thank you, whatever it is that he's blessed you with, you should always be thankful for God, because if you start being greedy and wanting what he got and what she got, you're going to lose your focus on what you can get through God. You know, am I right about it? And then that's why he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, right? And that's why we're supposed to set our affections on things that are above. And to look to those things, and that is what we should be reaching for and longing for, instead of what he got and what she got. And he says, vaunteth not itself. So then that's when you get it. Don't be walking around, oh, I got it better than you. Or look at my ride and look at what I got, flaunting and walking around. They say if you flaunt it, got it, but that's not what the Bible tells you. You should be a humble person. And hopefully you don't have, a lot of people, they have an abundance of things. You know, like Jay Leno, he got like hundreds of cars in his garage, and his folk that need cars to go to work and that can't get to work or can't do what they need to do, but he got 100 of them in his backyard. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of being greedy also, you know, and that is all a part of things that are not godly, and these things are not fruits of the Spirit, because it's not loving one another. You should, a loving person would share, right? And this Kareem has a saying, I believe it's Barack Obama's whole political theory, but it is give a hoot and share the loot. and he's talking about distributing amongst, you know, if you got it, give it to somebody else. That's what you're supposed to do, right? And you can't just, like what Brother Morris was talking about, some people have millions of dollars in their pocket. And they know that somebody, their next door neighbor is struggling. Or they wouldn't be their next door neighbor, but around the corner down the street neighbor, the next town neighbor or something is struggling. And they won't help out. And it's like the world is so, it's supposed to be, or America's supposed to be in debt, but we got trillions and billionaires. We're $1 trillion in debt, but the trillionaires got the money in their pocket. So what kind of debt is it? I mean, if they really had love, they would, well, I'll give you $1 million of mine. And if all the millionaires gave $1 million, we'd be out of debt. We'd be at least halfway or some way out of that. But people are so greedy, and they are vaunting themselves, and
And they put themselves above everybody. And they say, oh, I'm greater than that. And that's why we have those upper classes that I don't mingle with them folk or some things like that. Oh, he's not my type of person. That's not my type of town. But we have to be able to go into all people. We have to love all types of people. We can't separate myself from somebody else because of status or religious. Religious, yes. But a status, because I'm make more money than you. You can't, I'm going to get to heaven first because I paid my more money or something like that. We can't believe like that and look at it like that. Yeah. And then also love does not behave himself or herself unseemly. That means you wouldn't act in a manner that is immoral. That's what we talked about, the moral thing. You see folk getting in, a lot of people get in trouble today because of their immorality. And we realize today that you can't even be a president if you are immoral. Am I right about it? And if you got something on the side, then you're going to have to step aside. Am I right about it? And we see just people everywhere are just immoral. Immorality is just the thing to do, you know? You can be nasty as you want to be, right? And they'll put you on a pedestal like, this is the nastiest person. Let's give them an award. They give you a award for being, you know what I'm saying? And they give you those things. But the Bible says if you love, you wouldn't act like that, because your love, first of all, would be for God. And then that love for God, you will obey his commandment. And then he says, does not seek her own. And that's also being greedy. Does not seek her own. It's not easily provoked. And that's about temperance. We just talked about the temperance. And like I said, all these things that we are adding to ourselves is growing in the love of God. And the Bible says, who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Nobody can separate it but your own self. If you decide, I don't want to be good, I don't want to be godly, I don't want to be virtuous, and I don't want to be loving and caring and long-suffering, then that's on you, you know, and that's between, you can't say, well, it's because of him or the way that he act, I act because he act, but that is not how we're supposed to act, because that is a reaction to something, and then you're tit for tatting, right? But if we love and long-suffering and patient, then we'll be able to forgive, right? Forgive as Christ forgave us. Am I right about it? And then it says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And most importantly, charity or love never fails.
Amen.
And the reason he was talking about this, because all those people, well, they wanted those gifts. They wanted all those gifts. And he understood that they wanted the gifts because they wanted to be, oh, that's the one with the gift. They wanted to be given the name. Oh, he's the one with the power. And he was like, all that stuff is going to go away. So don't hold fast to those things. Just like on this earth, don't hold fast to these things that are in this earth, because they're all going to go away. And the thing that's going to last forever, he says, this world will pass away, but my word, the word of God, will never pass away. And that's what we should hold on to, something that's everlasting, right? And we don't want temporary status. We want to be full-time citizens in heaven. We don't want to be, you know, just with a green card, you know, going to heaven. But we want to be citizens of heaven, right? And the only way you're going to get there is through love. And you have to have it. And all these things you have to add through the studying of God's word. And that's why we talked about study to show thyself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, so that you rightly divide the word of truth. And then we talk about another aspect of mathematics and subtraction. And now we have to do some subtraction to our lives. We have to lay aside. The Bible talks of another word for subtraction is takeaway, right? When I was growing up, they used to call it takeaway. And then as you get older, they call it subtraction. And then, you know, it gets to that level. But it starts off with takeaway, right? And then you have to lay aside. The Bible tells you to take those things away, to lay aside malice, lay aside those things that will so easily beset you from doing the will of God. And then we know that in John 1:29, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming. He said, here is Christ, the one who comes to take away the sins of the world. And that's the taking away that God is doing for us. He's taking away our sins. And that's the mathematics. But as he does that for us, we have to start laying those things aside. And the only way that he takes those away is by obedience to his will.
And then we see that Satan, we talked about sowing the seed, right? And Satan comes, and those seeds that landed on ground that wasn't fertile, they says Satan comes away and takes the word out of their hearts. And so that's why we have, the Bible says, to hide it in your heart so that Satan can't come through and get it. If you hid it somewhere, but if you got it and it's just laying around somewhere, he could come take it anytime he wants. And that's why we need to keep our Bibles close in hand and keep it in our hearts and hide it in our hearts so that folk can't come take it away from us, right? And then we see the in division, one more thing, that Jesus in the end time, when this world is ended, he's going to do some dividing, right? He's going to separate the right from the wrong, the sheep from the goat, right? And we want to be on that side of the division where we're going to keep it, right? You don't want to be on that side where he's going to be, he talks about the wheats and the tares and all these different types of separation. Even with the great net, he talks about once he's gathered, there's going to be, the angels will come and they're going to take away all those things that offend. And we don't want to be on that offensive side. And that is by adding love and being growing in grace and growing in knowledge and wisdom and faith and all these things and the virtues that the Holy Spirit provides through the Word of God. And we don't want to be left out. And then, like I said, the fruits of the Spirit is when you plant a seed and you plant a vineyard and it starts to grow and your crops begin to increase. And that is multiplying, right? You are growing and like churches, they grow, some swell, but we're trying to grow, right? We're trying to bring the souls in, and we have to grow and multiply by adding the grace and the fruits and those things to our lives. And this just, like I said, mathematics is everywhere and in anything, and it is always good to be able to apply it to everything that we do to make our regular life more better, to apply it to our spiritual life so that our spiritual lives can be are stronger, so that we can grow stronger with God. And that's why we have to do the math, and we have to add to our faith and continue to grow in grace and not just, you know, be a one, or just a number. And we want to be a greater number. We need to go from 2 to 4, and then from 4 to 8, and from 8 to 16. Am I right about it? And continue to grow. And then, just let me show some multiplication real quick. All these, if you look at this, earlier this morning I talked about unity. And it was talking about, and it says there was one Lord, one faith, right? We talked about that. And those are seven things, right? And this one has seven things also. And then the virtues of the Spirit are seven things. But if you do the math like this, 1 times 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 1 equals, I heard some sevens. 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1, right? All those things that he is speaking about in the Word of God, all those seven things, he used seven a lot. And seven is a number of completion and perfection and togetherness. And that number one, you are one, you are complete, right? And all these things bring about completeness and togetherness. And they bring you back to that number one and that unity that we have through the Spirit. And we must endeavor to continue to add these things so that we can be, he said, to be perfect. We can be perfect. We can be perfect in the knowledge, right? Amen. We could jack of all trades, right? I could do a lot of things. I could change your oil, change your tire. But if it was something bad with your car, don't come to me because I couldn't fix it. You know what I'm saying? I could do a lot of things. And I'm a jack of all trades. But we have to be masters at the Word of God. Where we can say, I know what it says, and I can tell you what it says, and I believe what it says, and I stand on what it says. And that's the way we got to be. All those other things we are learning and building and skills that we learn, but the most important thing that we have to learn is the Word of God and apply those things to our life that we may be one with God, and that one day we can be able to be in that one great going up. Am I right about it? And we can be in that heavenly place and be able to sing hallelujah by and by. And if those, I just encourage you to continue to grow, to continue to study, to continue to pray with me and for me. And we do one, pray for me, and we pray for we, right? We got to all continue to pray for each other so that we can all grow together and that we can be united together. And that unity comes from love. And if there's no love, there's going to be war and bickering and backbiting and cutthroat. You know what I'm saying? So we have to have that love in our life. And we must add these virtues. The seven virtues, the seven fruits will be an example of the seven virtues that you add. And all these things that we do is for the perfectness and coming into completeness with God.
Amen.
So I just pray that we all are able to get an understanding of this word, and I hope that what I have said has been fruitful, that it will bear fruit. Amen? So let us all stand and sing the song of invitation.